called together, to call to order the conference committee on Senate File 1111. And I think to start with, we'll do just a quick run through and then move a couple of provisions here. Mark, would you like to start with or Max, excuse me?
Mr. Chairman, members of the conference committee, Matt Gray, the House Research. So what you have before you is the Senate File 1111. It's the second endorsement on the Senate side, and on the House side, the first unofficial endorsement. Section 1 of both the House and Senate language refers to authorizing school bus flaggers to stop and hold traffic. And the substance is pretty similar between the House and Senate. There are a couple of differences. On the House side, there's an additional requirement that the road where the authorization to stop and hold traffic would have to be one lane of traffic in each direction. And the House also includes on 1.20 to 1.21 that the adult crossing guard would need to meet manual and specifications that are in the Minnesota Uniform Manual on Traffic Control Devices. And that's a state manual that covers all kinds of stop sign, stop lights, all kinds of engineering requirements around controlling traffic. And there's already in the manual a piece on about crossing guards, you know, the types of vests that have to be worn and use of the stop signs and so forth. So that the House position on that would be tied to that language. And the Senate language has a couple of additional sections that where the Commissioner of Public Safety would adopt safety and equipment standards. So the substantive effect would be pretty similar, but the House approach would, in my understanding from what the agency has indicated, avoid the rulemaking process. The other thing that technically is a little bit different, but the substance is the same, is that would be a heavy misdemeanor for violating a flagger, for motorists who violate the stop. The other item to note on the House language is on 2.1 to 2.3, and this would also limit the authority in cases where there's a school speed zone. So if the speed zone, if the surrounding limit around the speed zone was above 35, and the limit being brought down to 35 or below, the flagger authority wouldn't apply. So the kind of policy issue around that is flaggers wouldn't be able to operate in speed zone areas where the overall limit is fast. So, and both the House and Senate have a speed limit of 35 and that's where flaggers can operate. And then House only position is in Section 2, which establishes a 55 mile per hour limit on a portion of Interstate Highway 35E in St. Paul, and provides the Commissioner of Department of Transportation authority to conduct a traffic and engineering study, which is a kind of a standard study that MnDOT undertakes to adjust speed limits and potentially change the speed limit for something different from 55. Section 3 is another house-only provision that also relates to that same stretch of Interstate 35E, and it would prevent some speed limit violations in that stretch from going on the driver's record. This is similar to a current law provision that applies for some 55 and 60 mile an hour zones. And in this case, in conjunction with Section 2, it wouldn't actually be substantively different from how current law is. Section 4 is also a house-only position, and it is in a traffic regulation world of slower-moving vehicles, more vehicles who are moving slower than the normal speed of traffic. You need to move to the right hand, the leftmost lane, multi-lane highways. That's under current law. What the change proposed in the House language is to direct road authorities to erect additional signage as appropriate, telling motorists about that requirement. And then finally, in the House language, both House and Senate have pretty much identical language in Section 5 on the House side. and also section five on the Senate side. Regarding seatbelts, and it eliminates a fine requirement that the driver of the bus when passengers who are under the age of 15 aren't wearing their seatbelt. So under current law, if the driver who a citation is imposed upon in some situations, the passenger, younger passenger is not wearing a seatbelt. So this would create an exemption for some types of buses. The exemption wouldn't apply to school buses, so in fact it would mainly be motor coaches, but there's more types of buses out there that would apply. So the difference between the House and Senate on this is the House has an August 1 effective date, and the Senate effective date is the date following final enactment. And then there are a couple of Senate-only provisions that can go back to the first school bus driver piece that, you know, if you want, this bill document, go into greater detail on it, but hopefully that's the kind of ask for distinction on it. Mr. Chesky, any questions?
Okay, thank you. Now, I understand there may be an issue with the language addressing just one lane, or...
Mr. Chair, I do have a question and concern about that, because one of my communities, the children do have to stop, and they do have to go across, and there's two roads going both ways. And so this would say that basically that they couldn't stop the traffic on that because it's more than one lane. And it's not like one lane and a driving and a turning lane. It's actually two lanes that the traffic uses, and it's in one of my communities. And so I think this would, you know, my question if this is going to be something that's going to be helpful from a safety standpoint in that particular community. I would think that we would want to have the option for that community. I understand you're not going to stamp, you know, do this on a freeway, but I certainly, this is not a freeway, it's a city street. It is two lanes going each direction.
Yeah, and Mr. Chair, in certain lanes, I'm assuming that it's 35 mile an hour traffic.
If you were 35 or 40, but yeah. I mean, it's low speed traffic.
35 is what we've got in here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's the issue.
Okay, Bonnie, any clarification?
Mr. Chair, the Senate language doesn't have that restriction of one lane of traffic in each direction. I think that came in the House. So.
Any comments from House members?
I'm hearing what they're carried with.
Okay, how about the department? Any comment? Ms. Representative Swazinski.
Mr. Chair, I think the issue from the Purcell Amendment here, which is the section one of the bill, was there was an amendment and then there was an amendment to the amendment, and that was to really narrow it down to get after this very specific location that we were trying to address with this. And, you know, if the two-lane is an issue, maybe Representative Purcell would be interested in offering an oral amendment to take care of Representative Daines's concerns, or Senator Daines's concerns.
I would offer that, Mr. Chair, if that's in order.
Okay, and from the staff, do we have a suggestion for language?
Mr. Chair, are we working off the revisor document, or are we at this point, or?
I'm probably getting ahead of myself here. Maybe we should move that section. And I would ask somebody to move that to section one of the House language.
Mr. Chair, I move section one of the House language.
Okay, Representative Swazinski moves section one of the House language. Okay.
If you want to check that out, you could. Could amend the amendment to take House language, but without.
And actually, at this point, you're just moving the language and then we'll do amendments to it afterwards. Is that where you are?
Yeah, right now.
Okay, so that would be in my order here shortly.
Yeah, do we have
Can you move this, Mr. Chair? Is it in front of us?
Yeah, it's in front of us. So I'm ready to take a more detailed language.
And I'm gonna refer the staff on exactly what we need there.
Okay.
To do it to accommodate Senator Dane's concern.
Mr. Chair, on 1.12 and 1.13, delete one lane of traffic in each direction and...
So on line 112, delete after the word having, starting there with one lane of traffic and then going to line 1.13, direction and. Everybody understands the motion?
Yep.
Okay, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Amendment to the section 1 is adopted. Okay, any further discussion on section 1 of the House language?
As amended. Currently.
Okay, all in favor of adopting section 1 of the House language as amended by the oral amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, and Representative Szczesny and I had discussion about the bill earlier, and it was our the feeling between the two of us to adopt the section we just did, and then I wonder if we have, before I move on, do we have to adopt an enactment date too?
What we can do is just adopt the section.
Oh,
the Senate language, and that can have the enactment date.
Okay. All right, thank you. Then our discussion went then to moving adopt section 5 of the Senate language, and then the rest of the sections we just wouldn't move on. And so that's what we're talking about. Any discussion on the discussion Senator Szczesny and I had? Okay, Matt, yeah.
Mr. Chairman, just regarding the effective date, so as it stands right now, section 1 would be effective August 1. That's the default when the government has specified. If you want that to be the following final enactment, that would be another option. What your intent is for when that final provision will be.
Okay, Senator Saxhog makes the oral, moves the oral, just to change the effective date.
Just a question on that, Mr. Chair. If we change the effective date to the day after enactment, that could be prior to children getting out of school this year, because we do have some schools that still be running until November, June. So is this something we want to impose this year, or is this something that we want to have effective starting the school year next fall? I guess I don't know what kind of complications there may or may not be. It may not even be an issue for the schools to enforce this for the last 2 weeks. I'm not sure. But that's the question I have. Is this going to be an issue for the schools to enforce this for a week? Or do we need to give them the summer to prepare for it? I guess that's my question.
That's a good question, and maybe this language is permissive, so it doesn't matter, but Matt, do
Mr. Chair and members, I would anticipate that it wouldn't be an issue for the school, given that it's authorizing permissive language, and it really works in conjunction with what's currently in place under the uniform manual, where they're already crossing guards who are operating. They just don't have this explicit authority. It's sort of a high crime authority issue. So, thank you on that. I wouldn't anticipate that being an issue for school.
Okay. So then back to the motion, that the effective day would be following final enactment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, then the next action we'd be looking at here is to move section 5 of the Senate language, the second engrossment. And that's the language the charter bus companies were looking for.
Mr. Chair, yes, the seminar would be the same as the House again, it's just the effective date is the difference. The sound language would be, they follow and follow that.
Mr. Chair, I move Section 5 of the Senate language.
Okay, Representative Szczesinski moves Section 5 of the Senate language. Any further discussion? All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Section 5 of the Senate language is adopted. Okay, now for a question, we have to move the whole thing now, or?
We just need staff to prepare the conference committee report, and the members assign it, and.
Is that the motion? Mr. Chair, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Yes, the, in the House language, the Section 4, the move over language there, what's the status of that there?
Well, Representative Szczesinski and I talked about that, and I know personally I don't have any issue with it, except there is a cost to that. I don't know how big an issue that is, but adding a cost to this bill could be an issue with its final passage. And also, I understand the department sees some issues with trying to enforce that, could be a little tricky. I don't know if the department wants to comment.
Mr. Chair, while if the testifiers are coming up or not, I talked to Representative Hoppe about that. That was his amendment on the House floor. And we chatted a little bit about the fiscal cost, and it was minimal. I think they thought maybe it was $25,000 to $35,000, maybe $50,000 in that range for the placement of those signs. I think I agree that I think it would be maybe worthwhile, but you know, I'm not sure if it's quite the right place for this floor, being kind of the unique nature of it. We felt by adding a potential fiscal cost would require this bill not just go to the House floor, but have to maybe make a trip to Ways and Means to deal with that, like the tight margin we are on time. We felt that maybe it would be a good amendment for next year.
All right, thank you. I'm good with that.
All right, thanks. Any further discussion? Okay, what is the motion again? Okay, thank you. The motion is to adopt the committee report.
So moved.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Motion approved, committee report is adopted. Thank you all. Thank you very much.